Welcome to the Watchman Radio Hour, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, here in the beautiful Northwest. This is David Schultz, your announcer. The Watchman Radio Hour is a production of Watchman Radio Ministries International, an evangelistic ministry reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now here's our speaker, Alex Dotson, to bring you this week's message from God's Word.
For our scripture reading today, let us turn to Ezekiel chapter 39, and we'll begin reading in verse 21. Let us hear the word of God. I will display my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see the punishment I inflict and the hand I lay upon them. From that day forward, the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God, and the nations will know that the people of Israel went into exile for their sin, because they were unfaithful to me. And so I hid my face from them and handed them over to their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. I dealt with them according to their uncleanness and their offenses, and I hid my face from them. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says: I will now bring Jacob back from captivity, and will have compassion on all the people of Israel, and I will be zealous for my holy name. They will forget their shame, and all the unfaithfulness they showed toward me when they lived in safety in their land with no one to make them afraid. When I have brought them back from the nations and have gathered them from the countries of their enemies, I will show myself holy through them in the sight of many nations. And then they will know that I am the Lord their God. For though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind. I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible that you've given us. We thank you that it's your infallible word, and that we can put our full confidence in everything that it says. Now, O Father, as we study your word, we pray that you will send forth your Holy Spirit in great convicting power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of focus on Israel these days. The Jewish nation is much in the news. Many evangelicals have their eyes fixed on Israel to see what will happen to them. Many believe that the events in Israel are pointing to the second coming of Christ. Others think there is no significance to modern Israel. They think that Israel, as far as Bible prophecy is concerned, was terminated in 70 AD, being completely replaced by the church. What then are we to believe about Israel? What does the Bible say? Does modern Israel have anything to do with Bible prophecy? One thing for sure is that the present state of Israel has not turned to Jesus Christ as yet. But will they in the future? Richard Sibes, an earlier Christian from another generation, wrote in his book, The Bruised Reed. He says, "The Jews are not yet come in under Christ's banner. But God, that hath persuaded Japhet to come into the tents of Shem, will persuade Shem to come into the tents of Japhet. The fullness of the Gentiles is not yet come in, but Christ, that hath the utmost parts of the earth given him for his possession, will gather all the sheep his Father hath given him into one fold, that there may be one sheepfold and one shepherd. The faithful Jews rejoice to think of the calling of the Gentiles, and why should not we joy to think of the calling of the Jews?" Some see Israel as completely separate from the church. Some even see the church being raptured out of the way before the Jews come to accept Christ as their Messiah. seemingly an event completely separated from the church. Yet, Paul talks of only one olive tree in Romans 11, of which both Jews and Gentiles are members. What then is the correct teaching concerning Israel and the Jews and the church? Ezekiel pointed to a time when there would be a great conversion of the Jewish people. We read, our text for today is Ezekiel 39 in verse 27 through 29, which we read again. When I have brought them back from the nations and have gathered them from the countries of their enemies, I will show myself holy through them in the sight of many nations. And then they will know that I am the Lord their God. For though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind. I will no longer hide my face from them. For I will pour out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. There will yet be a revival among the Jews. Ezekiel lived during the time of the first exile, and what he said concerning the restoration of the Jews to their land certainly could be at least partially applied to their first return from captivity under Ezra and Nehemiah. Yet, Ezekiel's prophecy seems to go beyond this first exile to a much later time. After all, Israel rebelled again and even rejected the Messiah and was again taken into captivity in 70 AD by the Romans. Ezekiel's prophecy of a future restoration seems to have much more permanence and doesn't seem to have been fulfilled in the first restoration. We then take this section of Ezekiel's prophecy as referring to a time yet future. There will yet be a conversion of the Jews like we have never seen before. Now let us see in the first place that God will bring back the Jews to their own land. Verse 27 says, again, when I have brought them back from the nations and have gathered them from the countries of their enemies, I will show myself holy through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God, for though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind. They were brought back before. The Jews were brought back before, after their first exile. The Bible tells us clearly. They went into exile in Babylon and then were brought back under Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel. Ezekiel is certainly pointing to this recovery, at least in part, in many of his prophecies. We know that this first recovery took place. But then let us see that he is pointing to a second recovery of the Jews. We must take this particular prophecy described in Ezekiel 39 is pointing to a second recovery of the Jews to their homeland. The first recovery was only temporary. It did not last. It was only a partial recovery. All the Jews did not return or repent. Yet Ezekiel points to a time of a much more complete recovery, one that will be more permanent and lasting. Colin Dalidge writes, the restoration of the captives of Jacob commences with the liberation of Israel from the Babylonian exile, but is not to be restricted to this. It embraces all the deliverances which Israel will experience from the termination of the Babylonian exile till its final gathering out of the nations on the conversion of the remnant which is still hardened and scattered. John Gill, in commenting on verse 28, says, and have left none of them any more there, that is, among the heathen or in the land of their enemies, every one shall be returned to the land of Canaan, be they where they will, as when they came out of Egypt. And this is typical of the salvation of God's elect or mystical Israel. Not one of them shall be lost or perish, but all shall be brought to repentance. This again shows that the prophecy did not respect the return of the Jews from the Babylonian captivity. Since then, many were left behind. The first recovery of the Jews was only partial, but this second recovery will be much more complete. Paul points to this second recovery in Romans 11:26, where he writes, And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will turn godlessness away from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Ezekiel points to this complete and lasting recovery of Israel. They will return to their land, and they will also repent and turn to the Lord. Now let us see in the second place that the Jews will be converted in mass to Christ. Again, our text says in verse 27, when I have brought them back from the nations and have gathered them from the countries of their enemies, I will show myself holy through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God. For though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind. I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord. There will be a pouring out of the Spirit on the Jews. Now this happened at Pentecost. There was a pouring out of the Spirit on the Jews. Peter tells us it was a direct fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. However, this does not seem to be what Ezekiel is referring to here. He seems to be pointing to a later time. Zechariah seems also to point toward this later time in Zechariah 12, verses 10 through 13, where he says, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be great, like the weeping of Hadad-Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. The land will mourn, each clan by itself, with their wives by themselves, the clan of the house of David and their wives, the clan of the house of Nathan and their wives, the clan of the house of Levi and their wives, the clan of Shimei and their wives, and all the rest of the clans and their wives. Now, after Peter's sermon at Pentecost, there were Jews who mourned over having put Christ to death, and they repented and accepted Christ. However, this prophecy of Zechariah seems to point to something much greater than what happened to that group of Jews at Pentecost. Zechariah's prophecy seems to point to a much more thorough conversion of the Jewish people as a whole. In his prophecy, the Spirit is poured out on all the clans of Israel, not just a remnant. It is complete. It points to an event that has not as yet happened. Colin Dalich writes, and not only will Israel then be ashamed of its sins, but it will also know that Jehovah is its God from henceforth and forever, as was affirmed in verse 22. When he shall fully restore to their own land the people that was thrust into exile, and withdraw his favor from it no more, because he has poured out his Spirit upon it, and thereby perfectly sanctified it as his own people. John Gill writes, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. When they shall publicly repent of their sins and forsake them and seek the Lord their God and the King Messiah and embrace and profess him and acknowledge that God has been righteous and holy in all his dispensations toward them. And in commenting on verse 22, Gill says, so the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God that has chosen them, called them, manifested his covenant love and grace to them, and protected and defended them. This destruction of their enemies will be a proof of it, and they will hereby be led into a clearer knowledge of him and of his goodness to them, and make a more firm and constant profession of him. When the Holy Spirit comes on the Jews, there will be a great revival among them. And then there will be long-lasting results from their conversion. This second recovery of the Jews will not be temporary as the first one was. It will be long-lasting and permanent. Let us see what it says in verse 21. He says, I will display my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see the punishment I inflict and the hand I lay upon them. From that day forward, the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God, And the nations will know that the people of Israel went into exile for their sin because they were unfaithful to me. And so I hid my face from them and handed them over to their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. I dealt with them according to their uncleanness and their offenses, and I hid my face from them. Matthew Henry writes, as God was reproached in the reproach they were under during their captivity, so he will be sanctified in their reformation and the making of them a holy people again, and will be glorified in their restoration and the making of them a happy, glorious people. John Gill, commenting on verse 22, says, "Even from that day and forward, that is, to the end of time, for after this the Jews will no more apostatize, but will forever remain the people of God in Christ." And then on verse 29 he writes, "Neither will I hide my face any more from them." The Jews, upon their future conversion, will always have the worship of God among them and his presence with them. He will never remove his Shekinah from them anymore, as the Targum says. A further proof that this refers to future times. For after their return from Babylon, God did hide his face and remove his presence from them and left them to ruin and destruction by the Romans. And then Gill goes on to write, "For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God." This refers not to the effusion of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but to one that is yet to come, when the Jews will be converted in the latter day, after which God will no more depart from them, nor shall they depart from him. It is to this future day that Ezekiel points, a day when the Jews en masse will be converted to Christ and will remain with him and endure as a Christian people from then on. And then let us see in the third place, the conversion of the Jews will accompany worldwide revival. Paul talks of a promise of fullness for both the Jews and Gentiles in Romans 11. In Romans 11:12, he says, "But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring?" Here Paul points to the fact that the future conversion of the Jews will bring blessing to the Gentiles as well. The fullness of the Jews will bring even greater riches or blessing to the Gentiles. In Romans 11:25, he says, "Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." Paul is saying that Israel is partially blind, that Israel's partial blindness and rejection of the gospel will continue until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. But what is the fullness of the Gentiles? Does it mean the full and complete number of the Gentiles who are to be saved? Then, if that be the case, Israel would not be saved until the church is complete. That is, as far as Gentiles are concerned. That would put the conversion of Israel right at the second coming, or, as some seem to believe, after the rapture of the church. Yet this view falls short of what this verse seems to be saying. The word fullness is not talking about the full number of the Gentiles to be saved, but rather the blessing of the Gentiles. Ian Murray has an excellent discussion of this issue in his book, The Puritan Hope, where he writes, "Paul's words on the incoming of the fullness of the Gentiles in verse 25 are taken to mean the conclusion of the kingdom of God in the world, the fullness being equated with the complete number of the elect from among the Gentiles. But if this is so, then the salvation of all Israel, which is to attend this fullness of the Gentiles, must take place on the verge of eternity and signal the end of gospel blessing for the world." Paul's use of the word fullness earlier in Romans 11 does not, however, necessitate this meaning. The period of Israel's fall in verse 12 is contrasted with her changed condition at the time of her fullness. Fullness, then, for Israel cannot mean the sum total of elect Jews, because there were obviously elect Jews at the time of her fall. Fullness in verse 12 means the large numerical increase of converted Jews, but not excluding the possibility of others being subsequently added. So in verse 25, it is not necessary to believe that fullness means anything more than a large addition of Gentiles. A multitude of the Gentiles, says Matthew Poole's annotations, greater by far than was in the apostles' days. The verse says nothing which requires us to expect no further expansion of the kingdom of Christ thereafter. As a recent commentator writes, the fullness of the Gentiles denotes unprecedented blessing for them, but does not exclude even greater blessing to follow. The conversion of the Jews will accompany a fullness of the Gentiles, which seems to indicate worldwide revival taking place. Romans 11:15 says, "For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" Here Paul points out that this second recovery of the Jews will be like life from the dead for the world. Figuratively, he is saying that the recovery of the Jews will be accompanied by great worldwide revival. John Murray writes, "There awaits the Gentiles in their distinctive identity as such, gospel blessing far surpassing anything experienced during the period of Israel's apostasy, and this unprecedented enrichment will be occasioned by the conversion of Israel on a scale commensurate with that of their earlier disobedience. Rather than this second recovery of the Jews being at the second coming or after the rapture of the church, this conversion of the Jews will be at a time of worldwide revival and blessing. Their conversion will accompany such a revival. Today, the prophets of doom point to great tribulation and a destruction of Israel and its people. Yet the Bible points to a day of blessing for Israel and its people, accompanied by a worldwide revival. Ezekiel points to a day when God will intervene in the affairs of Israel and will rescue her from her enemies in a miraculous way and pour out his Spirit on the Jews. Paul goes on to say that such a revival among the Jews will be accompanied by a worldwide revival. In Isaiah 61:9, it says, "Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed." Surely such a time will come when the world will acknowledge that God has blessed the Jewish people when their time of recovery comes. Isaiah 61:11 says, "For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations." Future blessings will come to the world when great revival breaks out among both Jews and Gentiles. And so we should pray for the conversion of the Jews. We look forward to the time that the nation of Israel will become a Christian nation, one that honors God and follows Christ. It is to this that we should pray. Some see Israel as separate from the church in the future. This is a great mistake. We should be praying for the Jews to become Christians and come into Christ's church. There is only one people of God, one flock, one olive tree, one church of Jesus Christ. It is into that people, that flock, and that olive tree, and that church that we pray for the Jews en masse to come. Jonathan Edwards writes, "Jewish infidelity shall then be overthrown. However obstinate they have been now for about 1,700 years in their rejection of Christ, and instances of the conversions of any of that nation have been so very rare ever since the destruction of Jerusalem. But they have, against the plain teachings of their own prophets, continued to approve of the cruelty of their forefathers in crucifying Christ. Yet, when this day comes, the thick veil that blinds their eyes shall be removed, and divine grace shall melt and renew their hard hearts, and they shall look on him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And then shall the house of Israel be saved. the Jews and all the dispersion shall cast away their old infidelity, and shall flow together to the blessed Jesus, penitently, humbly, and joyfully owning him as their glorious King and only Savior, and shall with all their hearts and with one heart and voice declare his praises unto other nations. Though we do not know the time in which this conversion of the nation of Israel will come to pass, yet thus much we may determine by Scripture, that it will be before the glory of the Gentile part of the church shall be fully accomplished, because it is said that their coming in shall be life from the dead to the Gentiles. Pray for the conversion of the Jews. Pray that God would pour out His Spirit upon them, even in our day. Pray that God would send worldwide revival with their conversion. We look for that. We believe that. We pray for that. Now, maybe you are a Jew. You've never acknowledged Jesus Christ before, yet now you realize your need for Him. For only He can forgive your sins. Only He can give you eternal life and new life here and now. Oh, would you come to Christ today? He loves you, and He calls you to Himself. Receive His invitation. Repent at once of your unbelief, and come to Jesus Christ. Don't wait another day. Come now. Our Father in heaven, oh, Father in heaven, we pray for the conversion of the Jewish people in our day. We pray for a great revival among them. We pray that you will bring to pass, even in our day, this great prophecy of Ezekiel, that you will pour out your Spirit in a mighty way upon the Jewish people all over the world. And we pray, O Lord, their conversion will also be accompanied by a great revival all over the world. As your gospel goes forth in mighty power, O Lord Jesus, we pray that you would come in power in our day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We hope this week's broadcast has been a blessing to you. If you have any questions about Mr. Dodson's message, please write us. You may email us at info@watchmanradio.org. Our mailing address is Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. That's Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. You may listen to this broadcast at any time on the internet at www.oneplace.com. In the list of ministries, just select the Watchman Radio Hour. This week's program and previous programs are always available there for listening. Our web address is www.watchmanradio.org. That's WATCHMENradio.org. www.watchmanradio.org. Thank you.